Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey friends, welcome back to Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Whiffler and my co-host Emily Jensen will be joining me in a moment. But before we get to the show, I want to make sure that you know about my new book called A World Wonder. This book is a fiction book. It's a mass market book, so it is not explicitly Christian. But my hope is that this would be a book that you and your children would read again and again as you follow the story of a little girl named Cora who grows up to be a world famous architect. She has big dreams and she ends up accomplishing some amazing things. But over time, the people of a small town really teach her what really matters in life and how it's really about the people that we love and the people that we share our time and talents with. So my hope is that this book would be something that your child brings to mind over time or springboards good conversations about compassion and generosity and giving of ourselves to other people and how we can serve them. So if you want to check it out, head over to our show notes and you can find all the information there. Second, did you know that we have a library of free downloads filled with resources, devotionals, and kids' activities? All you have to do is become an email subscriber and you'll get access. Joining our email list gets you more than just the resources, though. As an email subscriber, we often give you first word of what's next with Risen Motherhood, and we pop into your inbox here and there with some words of encouragement and some of our favorite reads and products. If this sounds like your thing, head over to risenmotherhood.com/subscribe and sign up today. Okay, that's it. Let's get to the show.
So recently we were on a trip. We were looking for a family movie together and we watched this movie called Yes Day.
Oh yeah. I know about
which
this
I'm
movie.
Like not recommending or endorsing or all those things, but I'm just telling you what you watched.
It's a fine movie.
Okay. And I thought the beginning of the movie was so interesting because it kind of shows this picture of a woman and how she transforms from being single to dating to getting married to like becoming a mom. And she goes from being like a yes person and kind of a risk taker and fun. And then over time, she becomes like a no person. And then there's this one part where she has this montage where she's like saying no to her kids in every way possible. And she's like, over my dead body, maybe tomorrow. You've got to be kidding me. Nope on a rope. Don't even ask, you know? And she's like going on and on and on. And it was, I thought it was so funny, but it also kind of freaked me out because I was like, oh, I think I can sound like that sometimes. You realize as a mom, how much you are constantly like, don't do that. Don't touch that. Nope. Not right now. Come to me later. I can't deal with that right now. You know, like there's, you know, 100 different ways that we are kind of looking to like protect and restrict and contain and like keep it all under control. And that can be like our main focus.
No, totally. I know. And there's an element that it's right and good, you know, for us as moms to be saying no. We're supposed to protect our kids from danger. We're supposed to teach them, you know, what is good, what is right, what is wrong, to keep them from behaviors that might be risky or harmful. And of course, no is very useful for maintaining some sense of discipline and rules in our lives. So all of those things is like, there's an element of us as moms, we should be saying no. We're allowed to say no. And these things are good things. But you're right. Like somewhere along the way, I think that good thing can kind of become bad where suddenly we're not saying no because it's in the best interest of our family or even of ourselves. But instead, it's because maybe we're like afraid of things. We're feeling anxious about things. We're not trusting God ultimately in that instance, right? Or maybe we're just kind of getting like slowly more and more uptight. I know that has happened to me at times, like just seasonally where I can feel myself, my stress level is kind of high. And so suddenly I'm kind of just like, I didn't even hear the request and I'm just kind of irritable. And I'm like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah. It's almost like we're not saying no out of love.
Right.
And out of trying to help our children grow in wisdom. And it's like a convenience no, or it's a no that's like, I'm just stuck in a rut. And that's just the automatic thing that comes out of my mouth. There have been several times lately where I've like said no, and then I've paused and I've been like, wait a second. Or, you know,
what
my
did
kids,
you say? You can ask me again. Let me process.
My kids have been like, why? And I start thinking about it. And I'm like, I don't know why this might actually be a reasonable request, but my knee-jerk reaction was just to say no. And I think you're right. It's resistance to change. It's being inflexible. And sometimes it's being fearful. And I think like this can have real impact in our tangible everyday moments in motherhood. And so I think a lot of these examples we're going to give are like stereotypical overgeneralizations, but so we know that there are like extreme situations, but like just one example would be when we kind of become, you know, fearful, overly anxious moms who are scared to take risks, we may stop living in healthy community, or we may stop going to events because of a risk of our kids are going to get sick, or maybe we don't want our kids interacting with another kid who might say something that we're uncomfortable with, or we're perpetually avoiding the library because of the risk that our kids could see a possible questionable book cover in the kids section, or we are avoiding or ignoring neighbors because of the risk that, you know, our kids are going to get confused about what a godly lifestyle is. I mean, that list could go on and on and on. But in essence, we're like making our world smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, not because always we think it's the wisest thing to do, but because we're scared.
Yeah.
And we don't want our kids to get hurt, and we're not really sure any other way to cope with it other than to just say, nope, let's just cut it off.
Yeah. And it happens for ourselves too, right? We get scared. And so we do things like, you know, we're not going to pursue that education or going back to school or get a certification because we're kind of afraid like, well, if I try that new thing or like maybe it's a business or something like that, then maybe I'll fail. And so we avoid all risk because we just want to make sure that, you know, our little world stays safe. Or maybe it's even as simple as we're not willing to go up and form a friendship with a woman at church that we kind of like, or we think we might like. And we're afraid though that she'll reject us and there'll be another, you know, failed friendship that we can add to the list. Or maybe it's something like the hobbies that we desire. We don't want to fail at those things. And yet we're like, oh, I kind of would like to get better at watercolor. Or I'd like kind of like to get better at crocheting, or I'd kind of like to do gardening. I know like for me, a lot of times that is, I have so many like things that I want to do and I like to do. And yet one of the biggest reasons I don't do it is because I'm afraid, well, what if it doesn't work out and I spent all this money and it just feels too risky. But I think that this show is so important, this topic of talking about taking risks, being willing to do that, or even having courage, especially in situations where, I like what you said, Emily, it's not because it's wisdom, but because we're doing it out of fear, right? There's like a very different reason of not being willing to take risk because we wisely are saying, oh, that's not a risk that my family should take right now, versus one that says, oh, I'm just scared of the repercussions and so I'm not going to do it. And so we want to kind of dig into that today and talk through that, because this whole series is about being whole as women of Christ and of God, and knowing that before we were mothers, we were women, and that is our calling from the Lord. And so what does that look like? One of the things that I think when we become moms, like we're saying here, is very quickly we can kind of grow inward and feel like we're a shell of who we were, and we're just not willing to go out on a limb because of all these reasons we talked about. And so we want to talk about, what does it look like as a Christian woman to have courage, to trust God, and to take appropriate risks?
Mm-hmm. Which we sometimes have to exercise the muscle of more as like motherhood goes on. And one day you realize like, is this really the person that I want to be, you know? And I think a Christian woman can take risks and trust the Lord, because it is a risk to live in the world, right? Like everything that God calls us to do involves risk. It's a risk to evangelize. It's a risk to step into a calling or volunteer opportunity, even when you don't feel perfectly prepared or qualified. Like, it's a risk to trust God in faith, to do new things in different seasons of life. Like you were saying, it's a risk to make new friends and deepen relationships. But there are also so many reasons that we have for courage, because we know that God is with us and God is helping us and the Holy Spirit is guiding us. I mean, there are some, of course, classic Old Testament verses on this. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And of course, this one is said in the context of God, you know, talking to Joshua as he's preparing to lead people into the promised land. Joshua 1:9, God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that was the situation where he was asking Joshua to take a risk and to have courage and do something that seemed really scary. And God's encouragement was to him is like, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And so it's really important that we remember like God is our refuge and our strength and our protector, and we can trust him to be with us as we try new things at his leading.
Yeah, this, you know, reminds me quite a bit of just when you and I were first starting Risen Motherhood and it feeling very risky.
Terrifying.
Yeah. To put our voices out there and our thoughts out there. And, you know, we were saying things that we hadn't really heard people say before. And I remember you and I talking about it, and we had agreed upon a 5-episode miniseries essentially. And then we were never going to do it again. We're like, we're just going to do 5. It's fun. It'll be a project we need to work on together. And I think some of that was wisdom of just like knowing, hey, this is a partnership and we want to make sure that we have an out, you know, and those are wise things. But I certainly can look back and freely admit that some of that was just because I was scared that I was going to look silly and that I was going to do it wrong, or people were going to laugh, or people were going to think like, what on earth are they doing? You know, who do they think they are? I just remember a lot of that. Do you?
Yeah. And I remember feeling like there was such a risk to like, is this going to hurt our family? And is this going to mean that I can't be the kind of mom I want to be? And, you know, there was like all of these like questions about Colleen, and there was risks to how am I spending my time and things like that. And it was just amazing to me because even though I had all these fears around what Risen Motherhood was going to mean, as I just took one step in front of the other and we just responded one thing at a time to God's leading, he worked all those things out, you know, and our callings were not in conflict, and he had solutions to things and provisions to things that we were worried about, you know. And you just realize like, oh, when God calls you to something or he leads you to something, he's not going to leave you high and dry. He's going to help you in and through the midst of that. And
it reminds me of, I feel like I've been saying this like all the time, because a friend said this to me recently, that God calls you to the work, not the results. Right? It's just like, when, especially when we're thinking about making a risky decision for our own lives or careers or our families that could be really good and also could be really bad, right? You can kind of see both sides. I think it's important to remember that God doesn't guarantee any result. And yet he does call us to do some of that work. And I wish sometimes that I had known that little phrase or understood that concept when we first started Risen Motherhood, that, you know, the goal for us wasn't that we wanted to become a nonprofit. And of course we didn't have those thoughts in mind at first, but if I could just put my head down and do the work. And, but instead you and I were kind of saying, well, do people like it? And are they responding? Okay, I guess we'll keep going. And the Lord was kind and used that as I think a signal of affirmation, but also that remembrance that, okay, I'm just called here to do the work. There's a lot more freedom in that until the Lord calls me away, you know, and you'll know when God calls you away. And so if you're questioning, he probably hasn't yet. But I think that that's something that is really helpful to keep in mind when we're taking risks, is that we're not supposed to be looking at all those results. We're supposed to be looking at the work.
That's a good word. I think another facet of this is remembering that it's important to be childlike in our faith and in our approach to life. And so, of course, we don't want the immaturity of a child, like, but the idea of being childlike is like being simple and pure and trusting and playful. And I love the phrase, and I don't remember where I originally heard this, but a mature believer is easily edified. And, you know, it's kind of like the immature believer who like hears the sermon and like picks everything apart and is like always looking for the reason why it was wrong. But the mature believer, you know, hears the sermon and finds the truth in there and says, oh, I needed to hear that from God's word. And they walk away edified. And that's the type of like childlikeness we're talking about. And it's good to remember, like, Jesus welcomed children and said that they represent the kingdom of God. And they sometimes possess these qualities of faith that adults lose over time. Like children, they live in the moment and they don't worry about every little thing. You know, they are wondering where their snack is going to come from, but like they're not thinking much ahead of like, I'm hungry right this second. Where's my food? You know, they're not thinking things way into the future. They take things at face value. They cry 1 minute and then they burst out into laughter the next minute. Like they aren't too serious. They appreciate simple pleasures in life and they blurt out things like, wow, that tastes good. And like, that looks like fun. I want to join. Like they just kind of go with the flow. And I think that like as moms, there are still going to be lots of no's in our motherhood. Like we are still the authority. We have a really important role to play in that, but like we can also look for opportunities to fret less and like laugh more and not be as cynical and be more trusting. And I think for me, like I really had to look for these things and it's been hard for me, but I remember there was a point where we got a giant freezer in our garage and filled it with cold water because my husband was like getting really into cold plunges.
Oh yeah, very trendy.
And I was like, I don't really want to feel cold. You know, that sounds
awful. Of course
not.
That does sound like the worst thing on the planet.
Why would I voluntarily get into this? But it was also this thing for me. I said yes to it because I was like, my kids are jumping in. My husband's jumping in. Like, I want to be willing to do something hard and uncomfortable for me that's not going to hurt me in the long term. Right. And to just be willing to participate in what the family was doing and just see what this is like.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of the first times we got an in-ground trampoline. So it's on the ground, flush to the ground, which is super fun. Works really well for my daughter with disabilities. And I remember when I got on that trampoline, you know, probably was a year or two ago, my kids just jaws dropped to the bottom of that tramp. You know, they were like, what? You're getting on here? And it felt, it's, I mean, this is so silly, but the riskiness of it, of just like, oh crap, I'm going to pee, you know.
That's definitely going to happen.
Oh my gosh,
too.
Definitely. Not even a risk. Like, what's a guarantee? You know, and just like getting a headache because I'm old and just, I don't know, getting hurt.
You feel like you look awkward. Don't you feel like you're like a giant? Like, seeing the visual. We have one too, and I was like, there's people driving by seeing me out there and it looked like a giant bird or something.
That's so funny. I haven't really thought about that. But yes, I will now. Thank you.
You can honk if you ever see me. I'm definitely going to. Okay, continue.
But you know, it's one of those things where it was so fun to bless or surprise my kids doing that. And I think that it was kind of one of those things where, yeah, I didn't really want to do it necessarily. But then once I did, I was like laughing my head off. I mean, I was laughing so hard with my kids. They were laughing. I was bombing them everywhere. And now it's so funny because I'll go, I'm not going to even share that, you guys. That's TMI. I was going to talk about my strategy for using the trampoline, but
can imagine
the practical implications of what you have to do to mentally prepare for the trampoline and physically. Okay, moving on. What's the next one?
Okay, well, I feel like we're illustrating it right now. And it's just like, as women, whole women of God, like we can and should be full of joy. Mm. Like, and I read this book this year on the character of Christ, and it was talking about how Jesus exemplified like every fruit of the Spirit. And I'd never really thought about this before, but like Jesus was the most joyful man to ever live. So even though he's described as the man of sorrows, and we know he took his faith extremely seriously, we know like because he is God incarnate, he also knew how to laugh and smile, and he enjoyed things and people, and he went to parties and he ate at feasts, and he delighted in God and God's creation. And I love just this, we have a little collection of verses here to remind us what God thinks about levity. Psalm 2:4 says, "But the one who rules in heaven laughs." Psalm 128:2 says, "We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them." Proverbs 17:22, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." And this one is about the wise woman. Proverbs 31:25, "She's clothed with strength and dignity and she laughs without fear of the future." So the question is, are we more uptight than Jesus?
Yeah, it starts to make you ask the question of like, am I willing to have fun in my motherhood, you know? And am I willing to laugh and have joy? And I think that sometimes I've stepped back before and been like, man, I haven't had a good laugh in like a few days, you know, or I haven't really like let loose in a week or two. And just in the sense of laughing, like getting a belly laugh, you know? And you can do that with your kids. That's what's so fun is that sometimes I think we think, well, that means I need a night out with the girls. But no, that's not what it means. It means like that there's joy and laughter to be had in our homes, and we can cultivate that environment. And, you know, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and we're to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit as Christians. And so we can let our joy in Christ overflow into just a levity in the home. Mm-hmm. I remember this one day, my kids still talk about it, that we played tag, all five of us, on the main level of our house. And my husband and I were jumping over couches, like vaulting over couches. We were sliding over the dining room table. I mean, rugs, you know, we have a couple rugs that aren't like heavy, like a runner in our kitchen, right? And that thing is like tearing all over the place because our dog is running around. He's got a ball in his mouth. If we were playing tag, like a legit game of tag, all five of us, plus the dog, and we were laughing so hard. Another time I had to stop and go to the bathroom.
All of these moments involve pee.
I mean, that's the plight of motherhood, right? Just get used to it. But it was just, it's still a memory that I have. This was like a couple years ago. And my daughter will be like, "Mom, when we get home, can we play tag like that one time we played tag?" And I'm always like, "Maybe, honey." You know, just like kind of, it was impromptu. And that was part of what was so fun about it. But we've done it a handful of times. And my kids literally always, can we play tag like that one time? It's a sweet memory.
We have something like that. We went on a family vacation, I was like a year and a half ago, and there was a jet ski available. People were being pulled on a tube. I have never driven a jet ski before.
I was on this trip. Let's just be real. I was on this trip, and you guys, Emily was a maniac out there. We were literally, the whole family was like, who took over Emily's body? She is always on the water. She is driving like a crazy woman out there. Like,
I was doing some cool tricks, and kids were so impressed.
The whole family was impressed.
Oh man. And it was such a blast. And like, again, that seemed so out of character for me.
It did.
And yet, like, I was just like, I'm just gonna do this. I'm gonna try this. I can learn how to do this, right? Like, I don't want to be someone who is 60, 70, 80 years old and like,
unwilling to
learn. I've never done this before, yeah. So I'm never going to do it. And so part of it was just like telling myself, I can do this. And like, sure, if I get on it and I can't learn it and it's weird and I don't like it, I don't have to do it again. But I loved it. And I thought, our kids, my husband was like, why don't you go take the kids on the jet ski? And our kids still talk about that. They're like, man, mom loves jet skis. Remember that? Mom is the best person. You want her to pull you on a tube, you know?
When we got home from that trip, Emily and her husband were like, okay, when are we going again? Like, it was like, we were like, what?
That was the most fun I've ever had on a vacation.
I love that. Me too. It was so fun.
I think it's because I played.
Yeah.
And I didn't just kind of like sit inside and like, oh, the fun is for the kids. I was like, no, I'm going to have fun.
Yeah, that's good. Sometimes it does take just like that initial, like getting over the hump. Because we can feel kind of lazy and you're like, I'm just going to sit here where it's warm and comfy. But yeah, it's like going on a walk. I never regret actually going on the walk, but goodness gracious, getting out the door with my coat on or whatever. It's like the hardest thing to mentally hurdle over.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, and our last one here, a Christian woman is resilient. And I love this one because I think that so often it can feel like we're going to take one wrong move and our carefully crafted life is just toppling to the ground. But the good news is in Christ, we're not that fragile. You know, God is in control of all things. And that idea of control is just a facade. And so we can remember that God holds all things together, that he's doing all that pleases him according to his will, and he's not going to let our feet slip. And God is, of course, like we know just through life experience that he does allow us to experience failure and disappointments. He disciplines those he loves. But if he's in Christ, he's going to keep us. He's going to sanctify us and grow us and prune us so that we produce even more fruit. We can look at Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Acts 20:24 says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So in all these things, we can take appropriate risks knowing that God isn't going to abandon us to ourselves, that we're not that fragile. And I think about this a lot with mostly in my career, thinking with resilience. And, you know, I did that new book this year, World Wonder. We had an episode on it. And we talked in that episode a little bit about the risk it was to take to write a book that was for mass market, wasn't explicitly Christian. And I think that in any book that I write, you know, there's just that fear of negative feedback or doing something so bad that like you can't be an author anymore. Yeah. Or like maybe us two here speaking, you know, what if we say something so bad that we don't even know we say that suddenly like your career is over. And mm-hmm. I always remember, and you and I both talk about this a lot, is like if our husbands are okay, if you and I are okay, if we are right with Christ, that's what matters.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's going to be okay. Even if these risks that I'm taking out there don't go well or, you know, because of just ignorance or just, you know, a bad decision, a poor decision that I make the best decision I can at the time, but, you know, you can't see everything. But at the end of the day, if my family is okay and I am right with Christ, then I feel like there's a lot of opportunity actually to take risks and to know that there's resilience there in life because that's not what life is all about, is like being perfect in the other things we do.
Yeah, as careful as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we can kind of make those layers of protection, right? There's like God's commands and then that's what we see, right, with Pharisees or things in the Bible where they're like, it wasn't that they were just holding to God's commands. It was like there was layer upon layer upon layer of added to that of protection and fencing and things that it was like, okay, now I need to be 10 degrees away from this possible sin so that I don't take a risk. And I think what you're saying is like, at the end of the day, as women who are following him and orbiting our lives around him and fully submitting our lives to God, we're absolutely wanting to be beholden to him and his commands, but there's also a lot of freedom and a lot of things that we can experience and enjoy that are not sin. And you know, jumping on the trampoline is okay. Like, you can let your hair down. You can have the Mario Kart, you know, little tournament with your kids. Like, there are so many things you can do that are fun and feel a little different and feel a little bit risky, but you can have courage to know, like, God is going to keep you in Christ no matter what.
I'm Rennell, and I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because in a world full of all kinds of opinions, Emily and Laura always view every topic biblically and through the lens of the gospel. Their podcast really causes me to evaluate my choices and bring them before the Lord.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.